The Light of Life Radio Ministry, in association with Renewal Ministries, now presents great teachings by experts in the Catholic faith. Today's great teaching was originally presented at a November 2014 conference in Monroeville, Pennsylvania, entitled New Evangelization in a New Millennium, and is presented with permission from Renewal Ministries of Ann Arbor, Michigan. Dr. Mary Healy is Associate Professor of Sacred Scripture at the Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. She serves the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity as a member of the International Pentecost Catholic Dialogue. In 2014, she was appointed by Pope Francis to a five-year term on the Pontifical Biblical Commission. Dr. Healy has previously taught at the Institute for Pastoral Theology at Ave Maria University and the Notre Dame Graduate School of Christendom College, and served for several years as coordinator of the Mother of God community, a lay Catholic community in Gaithersburg, Maryland. She currently serves as chair of the Doctrinal Commission of International Catholic Charismatic Renewal Services in Rome. She speaks at retreats and conferences nationally and internationally on topics related to Scripture, the theology of the body, and the spiritual life. After a powerful introduction to the conference by Dave Ambittle and a conference blessing by Father Tony Gargatta, we will hear the first conference speaker and today's great teaching on faith by Dr. Mary Healy.
Today is all about fire, and we need it, right? As the Lord says, I came to cast fire upon the earth, and I wish that it were already blazing. I wish that it were already blazing. Now, there's two ways you could respond to that verse, right? The first is excitement. And I'm excited when I hear that. God came to cast fire upon the earth. But the other way, and this is what's important for today, is when I hear this verse, I get a sick feeling in my stomach. Because he says, I wish it were already blazing. And those of us who know what that's all about, we have the same sick feeling. We want it to be blazing. The Lord is ready to cast fire on the earth. The Lord is ready to do that. And if enough of us have that sick feeling in our stomach and we pray for that renewal and we beg God for that fire to come down, it's going to happen, brothers and sisters. It's going to happen. And so today is about holy expectation. Not what have you seen God do in the past, but what do you believe he could do? And it's not necessarily what do you believe he could do in your neighbor's life, but what can he do in your heart? So many of us have heard the gospel message preached over and over and over again, and we think, well, I've heard it all. But that's not what today is about. God is doing something new. God wants to speak a new message to each of us. God wants to change our lives over and over and over again so that we can bring that fire. And I'll tell you something, truly, brothers and sisters, Pope Francis has convicted me of this. I work for the church. I haven't said this before. My name is Dave Van Vickle. I work as a director of evangelization for a big Catholic parish in Pittsburgh. And I work for the church, and I often think that everybody has heard the gospel. I have this crazy thought that everybody's heard the gospel. And all of a sudden, this little old guy, Pope Francis, comes along and he starts talking. And I realize that I've been wrong. That everywhere we look, there are people who have never heard the message of God's love, who have never heard the message of God's mercy. That right now on that sidewalk out there, there are people walking along who have never heard the message that God loves them and wants a relationship with them. And that if we do not take that message up, no one will ever hear it. We have to. The new evangelization is not so much about foreign missions, it's about the missionary that's sitting right next to you. The missions to the person next to me. Who hasn't heard it yet? And they're not just going to see it in your life. You have to back it up with your words and your life. You must have that fire inside of you, and God wants to set it. And we have to have that holy longing that the Lord had, that we wish it were already blazing. We want to recognize three important people here. The first two are Father Tony Gargatta and Father Joe Luisi for organizing this. Yeah, give them a round of applause. Also Santos Hernandez, who was like the brain behind this. He really organized this whole thing. But we want to recognize Father Joe and Father Tony for their visionary leadership in doing this. I mean, this is not something that they have to do, right? They have big, busy parishes. And they took this on their back and they really promoted this and pushed this because they know what needs to happen in the church is a renewal. We need to have a renewal. And so we really thank them and we welcome them for that. We're hoping that this conference is going to strengthen our diocese. It's going to strengthen our families. It's going to strengthen ourselves, but it's going to go out into the whole world. And so we have to believe that. We want to thank Dr. Michael Tarian, who's the new director of evangelization and Catholic education for the Diocese of Pittsburgh, for promoting this. And he did a lot of promotion. Thank you so much, Dr. Tarian. And I would just encourage you today to do this, okay? A special, you know, exercise that you can do on any retreat, and that is this. First of all, don't let what happens here, what we have planned, ruin a retreat that God wants to take you on, okay? God may want to take you on a journey, and don't let us get in the way. Don't let me get in the way, certainly, okay? We're going to try and tell you what the Holy Spirit is saying, and that's what we're going to do our best to do. But if God is taking you on a journey, today is about listening to the Lord. And so the only way to do that is if we kind of leave our baggage behind. Whatever stresses you had, whatever things that were going on in your life, let's leave them at the door. Let's forget about that and really enter into what God wants to do in our life today. And I want you to dream big. Dream big. Because the apostles in the upper room probably did not realize that in that tiny little space, those few meager men would change the entire world. And so I challenge you today, do you believe that that could happen today? Do you believe that we could have a new Pentecost right now that will start the renewal and change the whole world? Brothers and sisters, we must have this happen. We need to beg God, but it only happens if we have an openness of our hearts and that we don't say, well, I've heard this all before. No, instead we turn to God and say, God, what are you saying that's new to me? How can I change more? I want to get closer to you. I want to surrender more. I want to give my life to you. And so let's leave our baggage at the door. We're going to ask Father Tony to come up and lead us in our opening prayer. We're going to do a little bit more worship, and we're going to get to our speakers today. Father Tony.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Monroeville. On behalf of myself in St. Bernard's Parish, Father Joe in North American Parish in Santos Hernandez, we thank you for coming. It's going to be a great time. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. Lord, in the Song of Songs, you tell us, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death, its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like the mighty flame. O Lord our God, you love us with an unending love, a love so strong that you've united with us as one in humanity. You share that love with us, sending us your Spirit in tongues of fire. We come together today to allow that fire into our hearts. The fire of your Spirit to burn deeply in us and send sparks and flames from us out to the world. Help us always know your love, to live in your love, to be refined by the fire of your love. Help us to live in your Holy Spirit and be more deeply alive in your love and know the fire of your love in our own lives. So we too may go forth and set the world on fire with your love. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit, enlighten my heart to see the things that are of God. Come Holy Spirit into my mind that I may know the things that are of God. Come Holy Spirit into my soul that I belong only to God. Sanctify all that I think, say, and do, that all will be for the glory of God. Amen. And Lord, we ask your blessing on our speakers today, upon all of us, that they may speak what you inspire them to speak, that we may hear what you inspire us to hear. We ask your Blessed Mother to be with us with her mantle around us. We ask through the prayers of all the saints on this All Saints Day, and we ask all this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Dr. Mary Healy is here from all the way from Ann Arbor, Michigan. She is a, yeah, that's great, huh? She's a professor of Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. She's a fellow of the St. Paul Biblical Institute, which is not too far from here in Steubenville, Ohio. She's the author of many books, including Men and Women Are from Eden, a study of John Paul II's Theology of the Body, and a Theology of the Body and the Gospel of Mark. Mary is also editor of the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture. Mary taught at the Institute for Pastoral Theology at Ave Maria University, and the Notre Dame Graduate School of Christendom College. She also has served as coordinator of Mother of God Community, which is a lay Catholic community. She chairs the Doctrinal Commission of International Catholic Charismatic Renewal Services in Rome, where she does a lot of that great work there. She has she's a graduate of Notre Dame. She earned a master's in theology and licentiate at the International Theological Institute and a doctorate in biblical theology. And actually, 2 weeks ago, was asked by beloved Pope Francis to be on the Pontifical Biblical Council, which is a very big deal. She'll be giving us just a hint today of what she has, what she has for the church. If you'd like to hear more, she has a table in the back, and you can order many of her books and tapes. But without further ado, you didn't come to hear me. I'd like to introduce Dr. Mary Healy.
It's a joy to be with you today, brothers and sisters. I'm going to be speaking about the power of faith. Now, this is a Catholic audience, right? How many here are Catholic? Praise God. Okay, well, I thought I'd maybe start with a little scripture quiz to test your scripture knowledge. You ready? Nothing will be impossible for God. Who said that? I hear a lot of different guesses. Jesus, Paul, nope. Gabriel, somebody got it. The angel Gabriel said that. To whom did he say it? To Mary. Nothing will be impossible for God. Blessed is she who believed the word that the Lord spoke concerning her. Who said that? Elizabeth, you got it. I thought this was a Catholic audience. You know some scripture, huh? Good. Blessed is she who believed. The power of faith. I want you to use your imagination for a second. Picture yourself as somebody who is working really hard to make ends meet. You're desperately poor. You're working 3 jobs. You can barely put food on the table. You can barely clothe yourself. Life is a kind of drudgery. And you get a phone call from a real estate agent. And he says, would you come with me? I have to show you something. And he takes you to the top of a high mountain. Puts his arm around your shoulder. And he says, look out there. He says, do you see that mountain in the distance? That beautiful mountain with the sun shining on it? You say, yeah. He says, you own that now. And then he says, do you see that river over there winding through the valley, gleaming like silver with trees and fields around it? You say, yeah. He says, you own that now. He says, do you see that village way over there, nestled among the hills, with beautiful houses and spires? You see it? Yeah. You own that now. Well, you know what, brothers and sisters? That real estate agent is the Holy Spirit, and he's talking to each one of you today. He's saying, do you know, children of God, that you are heirs to a kingdom? It's the Holy Spirit who reveals our inheritance. And it's faith that accesses that inheritance, that makes us not only aware of this vast territory we've been given, but actually moves us to go out and explore that territory, that inheritance. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, we have been given not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we may know the gifts bestowed on us by God. The Holy Spirit longs to give us a deeper revelation of the gifts bestowed on us by God. Otherwise, we have this incredible inheritance that remains a document filed away in a cabinet in a lawyer's office. Can you imagine slaving away, working 3 jobs, barely putting food on the table, when you are heir to a kingdom? And you can actually go out into that kingdom and enjoy its benefits. Brothers and sisters, there are a lot of Catholics walking around today who have that document, that inheritance paper, that will and testament, locked away in the lawyer's office. Actually, there's a name for that document. You know what it's called? Baptism. Baptism. That is what has made us sons and daughters of the King and heirs to the kingdom. You know, if the Holy Spirit makes known to us the gifts of God, that God has given us, we wonder, well, what exactly are those gifts? You could sum it up in one word. Jesus. Jesus. That's the gift of God. The Holy Spirit makes known to us. We all, like sheep, had gone astray, each one following his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. We were dead in our sin, alienated from God, heading toward eternal death, and God did not spare his only beloved Son, but gave him up for us all to be nailed to the cross for us, to die in our place, so that we could be reconciled to God, so that we could be made sons and daughters of the King, so that we could be heirs to the glorious kingdom, which is not a kingdom that we're supposed to receive only when we get to heaven at some point way down the road in the future, but now, that we can enjoy that kingdom now. That's the gift of God. How many Christians are walking around not knowing they have access to this kingdom and therefore trying to live the Christian life on human power alone? It's no wonder that people get frustrated and discouraged. It's no wonder that in a lot of parts of the church, people are compromising with the world. If it was hard to live the Christian life a generation ago, it's practically impossible now because the culture is going in a completely different direction. And it's no wonder that when people don't realize the victory they have in Christ and the authority they have in Christ, they get discouraged and they compromise with the world. Do you know, Satan works really hard to keep us from being faith-filled Christians who are exploring the kingdom, our inheritance. He works really hard at us, at keeping us bound up. And you know why? You know why Satan works so hard to do that? To keep us from having faith? I'll tell you the secret. Because Satan, the evil one, is terrified of faith-filled Christians. He's terrified because he knows that faith-filled Christians are not intimidated by the tactics of the enemy. Know they have a heavenly Father who loves them. Know that Jesus Christ is Lord of their lives and of the whole universe, and that they can experience His victory over sin and Satan and death, and that in this battle that we're engaged in, especially in our culture today, that they have victory. They've read to the last page and they know who wins. And when a lot of Christians like that, Catholics, are walking around in peace and joy, growing in holiness, bearing witness to Christ in an effective way, being filled with the Holy Spirit, raising godly families, then the dominion of darkness is in big trouble. And Satan knows it. And he's desperately afraid of that. He's actually desperately afraid of you being here today. Because he knows what this will mean in your life for your greater access to your inheritance and to your victory that will do damage to the dominion of darkness.
You are listening to Great Teachings presented by the Light of Life Radio Ministry in association with Renewal Ministries. If you would like to receive a copy of this teaching, call LOL Radio at 304-598-0026 or 740-296-5758.
So faith is an awesome thing. You know, the disciples said to Jesus at one point, increase our faith. Increase our faith, Lord. We want more of it. Do you remember what he said? He said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this, now there's different versions in the Gospels, but one version, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. You would say, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, I have here, in my pocket, in my hand, a mustard seed. Can you see it? Why not? It's kind of a tiny seed. It's a very, very small seed. And Jesus said, if you have faith even like this, you could say to a tree, be uprooted and cast in the sea. Now, I used to interpret that passage. Whenever I read that passage, I would interpret it as meaning, oh man, my faith is not even that big. My faith is just so puny. My faith is so pathetic, because I've never said to a tree, get up and be cast into the sea and had it obey me. Never had that happen. So I used to think of it as basically Jesus saying, you know, your faith is just practically nothing. But then the Lord gave me a new revelation, and I understand it a different way now. I think what Jesus was saying is that what counts is not so much how much you have faith, how big your faith is. What counts is whether you act on the faith you have. Whether you actually step forward and take risks and act on the faith you have, however small it might seem. Because when you act in faith, that's when things happen. And there's some stories in the Gospels that show that. In fact, if you look at the Gospels, one of the most evident things you see is that faith is not passive. Faith does not sit there and say, well, if God wanted to do something in this situation, I guess he would. Well, if God wanted to bring that person back to church and back to the faith, he could. If God wanted to heal that person, he could. That's not faith, the way we see it in the Gospels. I'll give you a few examples. There was a woman, Canaanite woman, with a demonized daughter. Some of you here might have sons or daughters that they may not be demonized in the sense of possessed, but perhaps troubled by demons, tempted by demons. So you can probably identify, some of you, with this lady. And Jesus came to her part of the world. And so she started following after him and his disciples, crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, help me! My daughter is troubled by a demon." Do you remember how Jesus responded at first? How did he respond? His first response was, he ignored her. He didn't say anything. Have any of you ever been praying and felt like Jesus was ignoring you? Felt like nothing seemed to be happening, even though you've been praying for a long time? Well, that's how this lady probably felt. She keeps crying out. Jesus doesn't say a word. And the disciples are saying, "Lord, just send her away. She's getting annoying." And then Jesus did something even more discouraging. He said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Well, I mean, if I had been that lady hearing that, I might have just kind of walked away thinking, "Oh, well, too bad. His gifts are only for the Jews. I'm out. I'm not one of the in crowd, so I guess there's nothing he can do for my daughter." But that lady didn't do that. She didn't give up. She kept after him. And then Jesus said something that sounded like even more of a rebuff. He said, "It is not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs." Well, that's not a very encouraging thing to hear, is it? Dogs was the typical Jewish way of describing a Gentile. Well, this lady would not give up. I think she had what they call it in Yiddish, chutzpah. This lady had a comeback for Jesus. She said, "Oh Lord, come on, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table." And look at how Jesus responded. Did he say, "Look, lady, I told you I can't help you. Look, stop bothering me"? He didn't say that, did he? He said, "Oh, woman, great is your faith." In fact, I think when he said that about the children's food and the dogs, I think there was a twinkle in his eye. I think he was looking for just that kind of response, a faith that would not give up. And it's as if Jesus said, "I can't refuse this lady anymore. I can't say no to her." He said, "Go home. Your daughter will be well." And sure enough, she went home. Her daughter was well. If any of you are praying for children of yours who have wandered away from God, who have maybe even wandered into paths that Satan has led them along, don't you give up, because faith never gives up praying. Faith keeps bothering Jesus because he wants to be bothered. Amen? Amen. Well, here's another one. Four guys in the gospel have a paralyzed friend. They hear about Jesus healing the sick. They say, "We got to get our friend to Jesus." That's an image of intercessory prayer, right? So they bring the guy to Jesus, carrying him on his pallet. But they get to the place where Jesus is teaching, and they find there's a huge crowd surrounding him. The house is packed. Even outside of the house, there's an overflow crowd. It's shoulder-to-shoulder people. There's no way they can get through. Well, these guys say, "Oh, well, I guess Jesus won't be able to heal our friend. Let's take him home." They do that? No way. They say, "All right, think. We got to do something. We got to get him to Jesus." And one of them says, "Hey, I got an idea. The roof." They climb up on the roof. Imagine this poor paralyzed guy and his pallet as they're pulling him up on the roof. Imagine the people inside. This might have been Peter's house. All of a sudden he looks up and he feels bricks falling down on him. What are you guys doing up there? They don't care. They won't let anything stop them. They lower the guy right down in front of Jesus. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And then he says, get up, pick up your mat, and walk home. And the guy gets up and walks. That's faith that doesn't give up. Or how about later in the gospel? Jesus is walking toward Jerusalem. It's near the end of his life. And he passes through Jericho. And as he's walking out of Jericho, there's a guy begging by the road because he's blind. He's a beggar. And he hears this big crowd and this commotion. And he asks people, what's going on? Who is it? And they tell him. And he starts shouting out at the top of his voice. He's thinking, here's my chance. I know he can heal me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Do you remember what the crowd said to him, to blind Bartimaeus? Essentially, they said, shut up, quiet, Bartimaeus. This is inappropriate right now. This is a solemn procession, and Jesus is a very important person. Stop shouting at him. So what did blind Bartimaeus do? He shouted all the louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. See, so often, faith has to overcome obstacles. People who have faith have to contend for what they are seeking from the Lord. They don't just wait until it falls into their lap. They have to contend for it. And so finally, Jesus hears Bartimaeus shouting. He says, bring him over to me. And what does the crowd do at that point? It's kind of a fickle crowd. All of a sudden, they're saying, oh, Bartimaeus, take courage. He's calling you. Same crowd, and we're saying, shut up, Bartimaeus. Jesus calls him over. He says, what do you want? Lord, I want to see. In that moment, he received his sight, and he began to follow him on the way. We need to have that kind of faith. Or one more example. The wedding at Cana. They run out of wine. It's a Jewish wedding. Jewish weddings lasted a week. This might be some point in the middle of the week. They run out of wine. What an embarrassment. What an awkward moment for the bride and bridegroom, the host of this wedding. And who's the first to notice? It's Mary. Just as she always does, she notices when we're lacking the wine, the joy, the fullness of life that God wants for us. And she does what she always does ever since then. She brings it to her son. She says, they have no more wine. But Jesus responds, sort of similar to the Canaanite woman, in a way that sounds like a rebuff, right? He doesn't say, oh, okay, let me fix that problem. He says, oh, woman, what is this to you and to me? My hour has not yet come. And now we have to pay attention to Mary's response. She knows the heart of her son better than anyone else, right? So does she just kind of walk away? Oh, well, I guess Jesus isn't going to fix this problem. I guess it's not time yet for his public ministry to begin. No way. No way. In fact, she actually ignores her son like a good Jewish mother. He can fix the problem, and then she ignores him. She turns right to the servants, and she tells them, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. Faith is obedient. Now, think of yourself as one of those servants. Mary says, do whatever he tells you. And then Jesus says, fill the jars with water. These are huge stone jars, six of them, holding 20 or 30 gallons each. Fill the jars with water. Remember, they didn't have faucets back then. This is not the work of a one moment. This is a big job. This means going out to the well, filling buckets, heavy buckets with water, hauling them up, bringing them back to the place of the wedding, pouring them in, going back to the well. This is a lot of work. Now, if I had been one of those servants, I think I could easily have been thinking, you know, we didn't run out of water, Jesus. We ran out of wine. I don't quite see the point here. And, you know, why are you telling us what to do anyway? But they didn't do that. They paid attention to Mary, who told them to pay attention to Jesus. And it says they filled them to the brim. How often Jesus will tell us, if we're listening, to do something that doesn't seem to make sense in the natural. But if we obey him as they did, he will turn our water into wine.
You are listening to Great Teachings presented by the Light of Life Radio Ministry in association with Renewal Ministries. If you would like to receive a copy of this teaching, call LOL Radio at 304-598-0026 or 740-296-5758.
So they filled the jars to the brim. And then Jesus said, okay, now take some out and bring it to the steward of the feast. Now that too was an act of faith, because that water had not yet become wine. They could easily have been thinking, bring the water to the steward of the feast? Well, that's going to look real good for us. That could be a little awkward, right? The steward will say, what are you guys doing? Why are you bringing me water? But they didn't say that. They obeyed. It was as they were bringing the water, doing something that appeared to be foolish in the natural realm. As they were bringing that water, somehow by the time they got there, it was wine. Faith is obedient. Faith listens to Mary telling us, do whatever he tells you. You know, there's a great biblical chapter on faith. It's a chapter that is really kind of a compendium of all of the faith exercised by all the holy men and women of God of the Old Covenant. And I think it teaches us quite a bit about what faith is and how to exercise faith. We won't go through the whole chapter, but I think a couple of things there are particularly significant. There's kind of a refrain through the whole chapter. By faith, he did this. By faith, she did that. By faith, by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called by God, and he went out not knowing where he was to go. Notice what that's telling us. Abraham was called by God. This is in Genesis chapter 12. And God told him, leave your kindred, your father's house, your land. Go to a land that I will show you. Now, Abraham could have said at that point, well, Lord, that's asking a lot. Because, you know, in this society, family is everything. Family is security, identity, wealth. You know, there's no social infrastructure. There's no social security. There's no police force. That's your family. God, you're asking me to leave all that, and you're not even telling me where I'm going to go? Lord, you know, as soon as you can clarify for me where the destination is, then I'll set out. He didn't say that, did he? You know, I think there's some of you here today. The Lord is saying to you in one way or another, I'm calling you to set out on a path. It might be a vocation. It might be a new ministry. It might be a new service. For some of you, it might even be going to another place on mission, temporarily or permanently. And the Lord isn't telling you the end point. He's not telling you where it's all going to end. He's just saying, set out. Are you willing to obey like Abraham? Because it's only if you start to put one foot in front of the other that the Lord will begin to show you the direction in which to go. You know, God's word is a light for our path, but very often he just lights up one brick at a time. That's all we get. Are we willing to obey? Because faith is obedient. And then it goes on and it says, by faith, he lived in the promised land. He finally arrived at the promised land. He lived in the promised land as a sojourner, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, his son and grandson, because he was looking forward to the city that has foundations. So by faith, he was living in tents. You know, imagine what it would be like to spend your entire life living in a tent. It's kind of flimsy. It's kind of impermanent, right? A tent doesn't provide a lot of protection from the elements or from enemies. The very act of living in a tent is an act of faith. And you know, brothers and sisters, that's an image of our life on earth. We are the tent people. In fact, the Greek word for sojourner, someone who is only temporarily in a place, that word used of Abraham, the Greek word sojourner is paroikos, and you know what words we get from that in English? Parish. Parochial. We are the tent people. We are not fully at home on this earth, and we never will be. Our security is in God. Faith demands a letting go of our securities. Now, I would venture to guess most of you here probably don't live in tents, literally. Most of you probably live in homes. But the question we can ask ourselves is, where's my security? Is it in my 401k? Is it in my medical insurance plan? Is it in my intelligence and my success and the various things that I've accomplished? Is it in my stock portfolio? Or is it in God alone? No, it's not that those things are wrong in themselves, but to the degree we have put our faith and our security in those earthly things, we will not experience the fullness of the inheritance God has for us. And it goes on. By faith, Sarah conceived, even though she was past the age. Now remember, Sarah was barren, right? She was a barren woman when God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you descendants like the stars of the sky, like the sands of the seashore. When God first gave that promise, you know how old Abraham was? 75. Sarah was 65. And they're thinking, wow, that's quite a promise, God. Descendants? But then, you know how long God made them wait? 25 more years. If it was impossible at 65, 90. She's 90 years old, and she's still thinking, okay, God, I don't know about this. In fact, when the angels, three angels came and visited them and said, at this time next year, I will come back and Sarah will surely have a son. Remember how she responded? She laughed. Well, God had the last laugh, didn't he? He came back. Sure enough, she had a son. And they were so overjoyed, they named him fittingly Isaac, meaning he laughs. God's promises will not fail, but sometimes they require a lot of patience. Faith is patient. And you can think, well, why did God make them wait that long? Well, why didn't he just fulfill that promise after a year or 2 years? Why did he make them go through all that? He had to let them get to the end of human possibilities. It's only when we are beyond human possibilities, when we are outside our comfort zone, when we are outside the realm of what is doable and feasible on a human level, only then are we able to see God do the miraculous. And you know what? He wants to do the miraculous, brothers and sisters, more than we realize, especially in the time we're living in now. God wants to clothe his church again with power from on high so that this world that is walking in darkness and in spiritual orphanhood, not knowing the Father, so that they can come to know him. And that chapter goes on, Hebrews 11, and it recounts so many victories of faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. There was another instance where God gave what seemed to be, from a human point of view, a rather peculiar instruction. They're supposed to conquer the city of Jericho? Well, does that mean take your best warriors and form a battle strategy and carry out a war? No. Encircle the city with praise. Encircle the city with prayer. And give a great shout of confident hope in the Lord, in the Lord's victory. And that's what they did, and the walls came down. Once again, God's ways are so other than human ways, and faith walks in God's ways. And it goes on, through faith they conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, received promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Women received their dead by resurrection. All these are glorious victories won by faith, but then it kind of changes. It goes on, some were tortured, refusing to accept release, that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and scourging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. You read that, you think, well, what happened to the victories of faith? What happened to the miracles? These two are miracles. Faith remaining steadfast in persecution. Faith refusing to cave in to the pressure to turn away from God and adopt the ways of the world. Faith remaining, clinging to God. Those two are victories of faith. And you know what, brothers and sisters? That chapter is not ended. That chapter on faith, Hebrews 11, is being written right now in our lives. And the Lord wants to write that chapter in your life. I just want to give you a few examples of how that chapter is continuing today. By faith, an unknown Franciscan religious sister heard God telling her to start a radio and TV apostolate. And by faith, she went out and bought a $600,000 satellite dish when she hardly had a penny to her name. And the satellite dish was delivered one day to the convent on a big truck. And the driver said, okay, I need your payment. She ran to the chapel and said, "Lord, I thought I heard you telling me to buy this." As she was going back out to tell the truck driver he would have to leave, one of the sisters said, "Mother, you have a phone call." She takes the call. "Mother Angelica, your program is, or your book has changed my life and the life of my family. I'm living in Bermuda, but I want to give you a donation, $600,000. She said, "Can you wire it this morning?" He said, "Okay." She had the satellite dish. She formed a worldwide global Catholic radio and TV network. Her name is, of course, Mother Angelica. By faith. By faith. A guy came to the prayer meeting in my parish in June of this year. He stood up and he said, "Could you all pray for me? I have a congenital heart defect. I just went to the doctor recently. He did a battery of tests and he said, your heart is dangerously enlarged because one of your valves has a flap missing in your heart. You're going to have open heart surgery." The whole group that was there prayed for him. We stretched out our hands, prayed for him. He came back a few weeks later. He said, "I went back for the pre-surgery tests. The doctor said, what's going on? There's a flap there in your heart that was never there before." Glory to God. By faith, a young man that I know, Andrew, 22 years old, he went to Franciscan University. He's a surfer. He's from California. He was walking on the beach one day. He just finished surfing. He sees a girl in a wheelchair. And he hears that small whisper of the Holy Spirit that's so easy to tune out. Go talk to that girl and pray with her. His first thought is, well, I mean, you know, what if I'm rejected? Or what if I pray and nothing happens? But in faith, he obeyed. He went and began to talk to this teenage girl sitting in a wheelchair, Hispanic girl. Her parents were right there. He said, how are you doing? Is there anything I could pray for you? And he said, how come you're in a wheelchair? She began to pour out her life to him. She said, I just got out of the hospital after I tried to kill myself. It was the second time. She told him she'd done meth and other drugs. And she was in a wheelchair because she had cerebral palsy. She could walk only with difficulty. She struggled with thoughts of suicide all the time, depression. As she spoke, Andrew was suddenly overwhelmed with God's compassion for this young girl. All his fear of being rejected or nothing happening, all it just left. He just knew the Lord wanted to encounter this girl. And he prayed for her that the Holy Spirit would flood her body, would heal her condition. He prayed for a few minutes, and then he asked her if she could get up out of the wheelchair and just try walking a little bit. And she did, and she was surprised that she was walking with much less pain and less difficulty than before. And her parents are kind of looking on in shock. And he said to her, "Well, tell me, how do you feel? What's happening?" And she said, "Well, there's a tingling in my knees, and my body feels hot." And he said, "That's Jesus, baby!" And then he said her knees were kind of sticking out in different directions. They were a little bit deformed. He prayed for her knees. Visibly, they straightened out. Her parents are looking on in amazement. He asked her if she was Catholic. She said yes, but she was not into her faith at all. He said, "When you go home, would you find a priest? Go to confession, because the Lord wants to free you. He wants to lift these burdens off you. Go to Mass. Receive Jesus." A few days later, she texted him. She said, "I went to confession. I went to Mass. I can't believe how much lighter I feel, how happy I feel." Brothers and sisters, that's the new evangelization. That is what the Lord is calling each of us to do in faith. Now, sometimes it will be more dramatic like that. Sometimes it will be less dramatic. But the Lord wants us to be walking out into this lost and broken world in the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing who we are in Christ, knowing our inheritance, knowing that we have supernatural power to live the Christian life, to pray for people and experience and have them experience the Lord healing their brokenness, sometimes healing their bodies, sometimes freeing them, breaking oppression. That's what the Lord wants for His church now in our time. And some are walking in faith like the people at the last part of Hebrews 11. You might remember the news a few months ago about a woman named Maryam Ibrahim in the Sudan, imprisoned with her baby, pregnant with another baby, because she refused to deny her faith. She could have walked out of that prison any day if she had said, I renounce Jesus and I'll become a Muslim. But she didn't. She was sentenced to death. She trusted the Lord. That's the kind of faith the Holy Spirit will give us if we just say yes to Him. Are you willing to say yes, brothers and sisters? Are you willing to say yes?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
You have been listening to great teachings presented by the Light of Life Radio Ministry in association with Renewal Ministries. If you would like to receive a copy of this teaching or other similar teachings for yourself or your friends, call Light of Life Radio at 304-598-0026 or 740-296-5758.